So we're halfway there, and there is actually still quite a bit away. And I want to take the opportunity now to thank you guys once again for coming. This is a great group. I love you guys. And I really want you to be successful with this thing and learning this craft and walking away with the tools you need to practice it in the future. A quick review. We've covered an awful lot of territory in what seems like more than 2 days, but it's only been 2 days that we've been together here. And we've talked about the craft. We talked about the three stages, the pre-production, production, and post-production. We've discussed the definition of backpack video journalism. We discussed the project that I've started at American University. We saw Chain Gang. We discussed the progression from clip to story. We went over the alphabet that you're learning now, part of this new language. We discussed the six-shot system, which is a very, very useful tool to designed to help you guys get the information that you need, the visual and audio information that you need. We went over composition. In the manual that I handed out to you, there's a list of shooting tips for shooting and a list of tips for doing interviews, both formal and informal. You guys have been out to the field a couple of times. We saw Echoes of War. We discussed how we use characters to address broader issues. Yesterday, we went over this whole idea of character-driven documentary. Once again, we discussed dramatic arc and character transformation. We defined a documentary as the creative treatment of reality. And we went over the process of the formal sit-down interview. From what we went over the first 2 days, what is resonating with you guys? I want to know what's sticking with you, what you're taking away from this. If you had the list, the most important thing. And what are you taking away from these first 2 days?
Thinking about the chart that you drew yesterday, where different characters or different opportunities come up as the story builds, and then they're all resolved at the end.
Okay.
By the end.
We were discussing that architectural drawing that's behind the screen, the structure that's behind here, and I want you guys to be aware of that. I mean, a lot of times our attention is deflected by what we see here and what we hear coming out of this thing, but the key here is to understand what's really behind here, to be able to deconstruct that so that you can come back with the stuff that you generate in the field and reconstruct it on your computers and then put it here. You gotta be able to see that drawing back there.
And how to figure out how to make the transition so that you can do that. So it's not too abrupt. You introduced a lot of different characters and situations, but it didn't ever seem abrupt. So I think trying to figure out how you did that and the kind of transitions you made to change gears in a longer piece.
And a lot of that, we'll discuss this, my whole idea, the definition of three-dimensional chess. You guys are familiar with this from watching Star Trek, I think, probably. Remember those guys, they had a chessboard that was not only this way and this way, but you also had layers of it. This is what the analogy that I use to explain this craft. We've got the images, which are the driving forces, one dimension of this. And we have the sound that's on tape or on the computer chip that you're using in your camera, but we also have narration which connects those dots. It provides the conceptual links between one component of the piece and another component of the piece, or one character and another character, one scene and another scene. Kalpana, what resonates with you?
I think the realization that whenever we're looking at life, there are all these, again, similar to what Anne was saying, there are these multiple journeys, and that some are really important and some are not.
Okay.
And then how do you really identify and really hone in on that really important story in that particular context?
Right.
And to be able to filter out all the peripherals and everything else and to identify that and tell that story as this whole journey of that moment.
Okay.
And that whole distilling process, and not only capturing it, conceptualizing it, but also capturing it in very, very powerful visuals. David was asking me, what is that one image that really tells that story? And that one or two or five images, not a whole bunch of images, but that those very few images. And I think it's this whole thing of how the need to develop the skill to be able to identify that.
And I think this ties in directly with our discussion of yesterday about this controlling idea, getting the thing up there and say, okay, what's the controlling idea? My documentary shows or my documentary explores. Yeah. You have to keep going back to that. This is the platform. This is the core of what you're doing here. And everything you shoot, all the questions you ask, everything that you do in the process of this documentary supports that controlling idea. So if you keep going back to that, that's your primary thesis. Mm-hmm. That's the thread that keeps the pearls together. Your controlling idea. That's your focus. Got to keep going back to that.
But
Chad,
Sorry. It seems like you also have to constantly recalibrate because
absolutely
you can only plan so much, and then there are the unplanned, the serendipitous things that happen or don't happen.
Yeah.
And so recalibrating and stepping back, as you've had us do periodically.
As we saw with this piece, Echoes of War. You know, I went down to Nicaragua to do this piece that I thought I was going to do, and guess what? You know, it changed. So you had to shift gears. But if you're prepared, if you kind of pre-visualize, like Ansel Adams used to do when he went out and made these fantastic pictures of the countryside. I mean, the guy didn't just jump, you know, into his Jeep and drive around looking for nice pictures. He knew if there was going to be a full moon out or a half moon or a quarter moon. He knew if the rivers were going to be high because of rain or low because of drought. He knew if the flowers were going to be in bloom or not. He had a really, really firm idea of what he wanted to achieve before he piled into his car and ran around to make pictures. And when he got there, invariably something's different, something changes, something is unexpected. But if you have a plan, if you have a roadmap, you can adjust quickly. And you don't burn up all of your time, you know, trying to catch up to your mistakes or trying to catch up to the unexpected. So that's the key. If you have that controlling idea, if you've done your research, you're going to have a lot more productive time in the field as if you don't. Chad.
You know, I'll come back to something that was said earlier. It just keeps sticking with me that less is more. Like a lot of things in communication, but you know, the answer usually is not more copy and more quotes and more interview. It's more about being a reductionist and really digging into, you know, what you have and focusing it around that controlling idea.
Yeah.
And you know, at some level it all boils down to the story.
Yeah.
And I think the hard part in learning these pieces is that it's a little bit like a jigsaw puzzle. And it, you know, it's the audio, the editing, the shooting, the different angles of shooting, and it's a lot to put together.
Yeah.
I think that the clearer we, you know, that you are about the story, the easier it is to get there.
Okay. Before we move on, you know, it's really critical that I want this to be a two-way street. You know, I'm here to like satisfy you guys, your needs, what you want to learn from this process. But you have to articulate that. If you feel that you're not getting something that you want, you know, just tell us. You know, for example, Bruce is going to give a presentation today. You know, I think he's done a really good job of trying to suss out what you guys need from his body of knowledge, you know, what you guys want from his body of knowledge. The same goes to me. If you're not getting something that you think you came here for, tell me. And like you did, you know, you needed some other capacity here. We'll make that happen. Okay, Karen.
I think what I have come to the conclusion at this morning.
Okay.
So I feel like I'm driving a car. I'm 16 and relearning, and so I'm so. Wrapped around the mechanics of how do I do this and how do I do that. I know the landscape. Yeah. I know what stories are out there, but you've got so much to try to absorb and try to make it all mesh together.
Yeah.
But it goes back to, again, as we've heard several times, that controlling idea.
Yeah.
You've done the research, mm-hmm. you have a real good sense of where you want it to go. You're going to have a couple of blips and detours along the way. And I am getting what I need here because I'm understanding what my staff will be doing much more. I have a much greater appreciation for, you know, what they're going to be encountering on the field and how do we get past that, okay?
Yeah.
You didn't get, and I'm hearing you do that here even now, okay? You need a little bit more video, but mm-hmm. I'll go with you. You know, let's work that through. And so it really is, and just all the critiquing that we've helped each other, that really has been very valuable, being able to bounce those things. Does this make sense? Is this valid? Where am
right.
I going with this?
This collaborative component of these workshops is really critical because it gives you guys a sense of what an audience is how they're going to react to what you're doing. You know, and if like Chad, if you need me to go out in the field with you again, like I hope to do with you this afternoon, if you need it, well, you know, I'll do everything I can to do that. Okay, Ivan.
What I have been learning, you know, is that the the character-driven, you know, story.
Right.
Because what I'm used to do is news, you know, concepts.
Right.
And in this particular workshop, I am learning to do that, you know, because that means that I have to reorient, you know, the story.
It's a completely different approach, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a totally different approach. If you've got that, that's wonderful. If you come away with nothing else but that, that's really critical, because, you know, it's the difference between using visuals as wallpaper behind a correspondent or as filler between talking heads. It's the difference between that and doing like Chain Gang or Echoes of War, where you have real people and you tell the stories through characters. Dude, if you learn just that in this workshop, I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, the six shot system, you know, as I told you, you know, that makes sense and even, you know, helps to save time.
Yeah.
Because if you already know what you are going to shoot, you know, so you just look for those shots, you know, and you have advanced a lot of work, you know.
Yeah. When that system works, it works wonderfully. Sometimes it just doesn't work and you have to forget about it and move on and just follow action, you know? And you had a hand up.
I wonder if you could talk a little bit about viewpoint, because it seems, you know, I've had similar thoughts, you know, coming from news, that some executives more than others would really drill it into your head that you had to give all views. You know, so they would always make us rip up our pieces, like if we had turned something in like the Chain Gang, where's your recidivism expert? You know, who can explain what the data shows, whether or not this is likely to work or not?
Right.
And that's a completely different thing, but you stayed with the viewpoint of what was happening in this one location, in this one sort of slice of life. Some of us, you know, work for the government, some work, you know, we'll be doing advocacy films or marketing films or whatever. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about viewpoint and how that impacts what stories you tell, what characters you choose, what you include, what you don't include.
You know, I think that you know, documentary is a really, it's a peculiar animal, and it's different from, you know, so-called fair and balanced news. Our intention is not to, you know, generate, you know, equal time for both sides of a story. Because to me, that's actually misleading. It's unfair, and too often you hear, you know, you see these stories that give equal time to both this side and that side. And at the end of the story, you can't tell who's lying and who's not lying and who's telling the truth, who's not telling the truth. You know, what are we doing here? You know, we give ourselves the liberty of being informed, and we have an obligation to be fair, but we don't have an obligation to dupe the audience. So we have an attitude, you know, we have an opinion, and we try to be balanced, but not untruthful. Does that kind of answer your question?
Sure.
I mean, our intent is not to give, you know, equal treatment to both sides of the story. That's not what we do. Leonard.
I'm a disability. I've been an absentee student here. I'm envious of basically everybody in the room, because it seems like everybody is able to find that creative hitch, that thing that their angle on a story. Mm-hmm. And to your point, a lot of what I do professionally isn't—it's never my story. It's never through the filter of me.
Right.
It's usually I'll hack something together. Somebody will hack that up, and then I'll take it and then rehack it. And there's a lot of hacking going on. the idea of finding that controlling idea and staying true to that, or at least true to yourself to that idea, it's really exciting. And I when we saw the short of the footage of the gentleman who was at the soup kitchen and his daughter just passed away. And
oh my God!
Yeah. Like, I'm watching that and, you know, reflecting on my piece, which is very clearly like a government piece. It's like, let's promote a program, and I'm watching that, and I realized one thing: I'm not a journalist, because I don't real life I find depressing. I like telling stories, but I like to make them up. But you watch that and you're just completely captivated, and there's a story, and it's worth telling and worth watching, and it's exciting.
I'll tell you what, you wait till you see the stuff that he did. I'm not sure if you saw the later stuff when he went to the house of these people.
No.
You know, the woman opening up this little box where they keep things that from the child. It's like you can't watch it. It's hard to watch. It's unbelievable.
I don't know if he.
And you have a 5-month old daughter.
Yeah.
You can relate to this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really powerful.
Yeah, I don't know if he knew going into it that was the scenario that his daughter just passed.
I don't think he did.
That's being in the middle of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's,
yeah.
You know, you just find yourself there.
But I'll tell you, it's this contact with life. You know? Mm-hmm. It's this contact with these stories. It's, to me, it's so compelling. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is why I keep doing this stuff. I mean. You know, I started this stuff about 35 years ago, and I was a still photographer. And when I'd look through the viewfinder of my camera, and I see beauty evolving or something very powerful, I used to get goosebumps.
Mm-hmm.
And today, 35 years later, when I look through my viewfinder and see something of beauty or power developing, I get goosebumps. I love this stuff, you know. And it's the contact, the human contact, that keeps me at least getting up, you know, at 5:30 every morning and going back to the craft. It's great.
But this is the workshop on a whole creatively is very exciting.
Great. You know, I love the mix that we have here of people too, because we have people who work for institutions like you do, people who want to, you know, freelance and create their own presence on the internet, people who have institutional support already but want to create a parallel presence and you know, a line of producing and so forth. So this is a great blend of folks. By the way, you came in late. I'm not sure if you met Sarah Gulick. She's a master's student at American University, an extraordinarily talented, wonderful filmmaker, and she's going to be with
and
us.
And I work for the government. So.
Oh. Which agency?
I work for the Park Service.
Oh, nice.
Which is a great agency to work for.
You got to show all of us, not just Leonard, that last piece that you did for my class. She's in my class right now, my backpack documentary class at American University. And you did a wonderful piece about the trail. So we'll show it while you're here, okay? Rhett. You know, audio is really, it's the heartbeat of these pieces that we do,
yeah.
You know?
So you get the gunshots occasionally, whatever.
That's right. That's right. That's right. If you go to page 78 on your video journalism manual, you'll see a script for a piece that I did for Now on PBS. This is a couple of years ago. And I think it's instructive to look at this, how this thing is built, which can be a very, very effective tool for you as you go about writing the script and the treatment and building your own video piece for yourself. You know, I talked before about this whole idea of three-dimensional chess, you know, the images being the most important, the most powerful dimension, the natural sound that you have on tape, be it interviews, formal or informal interviews or ambient sound, being the second dimension, the third dimension being the narration that you write that provides the conceptual links between those bits of visual and audio information, okay? And the way it's built is very much like you see right here. On the left-hand side, you've got what we see here, in your script. And on the right-hand side, we have what you hear. SOT means sound on tape. You have 4.5 minutes. I'm looking for air target one, so on and so forth. This is what one of the characters in the film is saying. This is this VO here, which is in all caps. This is pretty much the standard form that you can hand this script to just about any professional editor who works the craft, and he or she will be able to follow this thing. Again, it's kind of like a paint by numbers drawing. All the number sixes are blue, all the number fours are white, all the number sevens are green, whatever. He or she can fill in those dots and at least get the basics of what you want down here. The best editors will take the raw information that you provide him or her, and they'll turn it to magic. They'll do wonderful things with the stuff and suggest to you, this doesn't work here, this shot doesn't work here, this block of information doesn't work there, I don't understand the narration here. He or she will suggest or make changes that will better your raw material. Not very good editors will take brilliant material and they'll turn it into slush, okay? But either way, what you want to do, you want to hand someone a coherent version, a coherent roadmap of where you want to go, and that's called your script. Your treatment is very, very different. This is part of we talked about this document progression, this written progression from proposal, which is a very, very visual statement of intent, what you intend to do. Like I showed you yesterday with the Nicaragua piece, the script is a very, very detailed version of what you plan to do with what you've already generated in the field. And the treatment is something that you hand the executive producer. It doesn't have this structure. The treatment is very much like the proposal. It's a very, very visual treatment of what you have. Okay? I come back from the field. I write a treatment. The executive producer looks at it and says, you know what? I don't really like this. I don't understand this. The executive producer does not want to see this because he or she doesn't care which tape or which batch the information comes from. He or she doesn't care about this structure. He or she cares about what he or she is going to see or hear in the piece. The beauty of this thing that I'm handing you now, I think, is that you can actually go here.
What's going on in Afghanistan is pretty ugly. Taliban forces have made a broad comeback. Casualties are way up for the U.S. and its allies. The challenges.
And you can see the correlation.
The area along the Afghan territory controlled by.
Okay, I'm going to make this the truck. I'm going to put a 500-pound airburst over the truck.
The 24th Marine Expeditionary Unit has come to a tough neighborhood, territory controlled by the Taliban near the border with Pakistan.
Okay, so you let me run first pass and second pass 40 yards over.
So you can watch this thing online. And you can go to the script here and see how this works with the script. The 24th Marine Expeditionary Unit has come to a tough neighborhood, territory controlled by the Taliban near the border with Pakistan. This is what I'm saying, this is my voiceover, this is what we're seeing over here. What I do is, when I come back from the field with my raw material, I transcribe everything, every interview that I did, all the stuff that's said, all the interviews that I've done, and I start to build this. It's like a kind of a three-component operation. I looked at the raw material. I've got Final Cut Pro open or whatever the editing program is. I start to lay stuff down on a timeline. I know this is going to be the first scene because it's critical. It's pretty much chronological the way I did this piece. I put the stuff somewhere at the beginning. I kind of know what the last thing is going to be. I throw it at the end, just these pieces of these clips of information. And in between there, I as I go through the stuff and transcribe things and I look at the stuff, at the material, I put things in the approximate location where I think they're going to be. At the same time, I've got this document open and I'm writing this script as well, okay? And I'm actually writing the treatment. And the treatment, there's a copy of that in your manual as well. There's a piece of it, actually a page or two of a treatment that I wrote for another piece from Afghanistan, I think. Everybody has his or her own system. Everybody develops their own way of doing things. This is the way I do it. I look through the raw material. I start to document what I have, and I think I know this is going to be, for example, with Nicole, we watched the nurse's piece. I know that this is going to be the opening scene of the piece. So I put that on the timeline, and I write that into the piece. I urge you. I can't emphasize how important this script is, because nothing can take the place of this written document, so that you can go through here and look at what these people are saying. This original paragraph, when these Marines are talking to the field, is much longer than this. What I did was I went through the thing and I had to transcribe, you know, and I looked at it and I said, well, I don't need this sentence here. That's redundant. This one doesn't make sense. This is a partial sentence. I take out the things that I don't need and I use only the voiceover, or rather their voices, that I think are most impactful. With my own narration, I can go on page 2 and say, wait a minute, I say this later on page 6. Why am I saying this 2 times? So I'll take 1 out, okay? Nothing takes the place of a written script. So I would urge you to start building this document as you build the visual piece that you're working on now. Are there any questions about this? This is where, you know, this post-production is where you take the hard work that you've done in the field, the media that you've generated, and start to build it into something, you know, that you see as the final product. You know, again, we go back to the creative treatment of reality. Yes?
Do you put it up on the wall? Like maybe you have 20 pages of material that you've done. Do you sort of, to get the big picture, might you put it up on a bulletin board or something?
We have graphs that we've built, and we put stickies up on the wall, and we do all of these different things to say, okay, this is coming first, and we're going to have this person's dramatic arc, just like we did with the piece from Burundi, Studio Ojumbo. You know, where Alexi comes up and then the two girls come up and then, you know, Brian Rich actually goes out of the scene. Everybody has their own system. Sometimes we use sticky, sometimes we use big charts like this. Okay? It's up to you. You develop your own system. But again, I really, really encourage you to start building this now that you're building the visual pieces. Any questions before I let you go? Because what's going to happen now is I really want you to focus on putting these pieces together, writing out these scripts, and by 7 o'clock tonight, I'd like to start taping the narration by 7 o'clock, which is in just short of 6 hours from now.